You're listening to Let's Get Metaphysical. This podcast explores the spiritual and metaphysical world through the experiences and opinions of the host and those interviewed. It should not necessarily be seen as direct endorsement or personal advice to our listeners. We encourage you to use your own discernment, judgment, and intuition regarding anything you learn of through this show.
Let's get metaphysical.
Welcome to Let's Get Metaphysical. I'm your host, Renata Maniacci. Today, we are going to be talking about aliens and UFOs. I am going to take the lead on this conversation, and it's been a topic, obviously, metaphysics, right? I am excited to talk about this topic. I have some experience, and I have also gathered a few stories, personal stories from a few other folks to share with you today on this topic. So let's start by talking about what is a UFO. UFO means unidentified flying object. And there are a lot of theories as to what is actually going on when somebody is seeing a UFO. You know, lots of people think that kind of explain what they've seen away or explain what other people have seen away by saying, oh, it was probably a plane. I've heard a lot of people use the military as an excuse. Oh, there's a military base near here. Maybe it was, you know, some super secret plane or weapon or something that the public doesn't know about yet and is keeping under wraps. Other people believe that there are actually are spacecraft that come into this planet and this solar system from other solar systems and other planets and other worlds with obviously far greater technology than we have currently on this planet. I myself have wondered if, you know, there's some people who see UFOs all the time, and maybe not all the time, but I've certainly met a few people who, if they've seen a UFO before, they've seen several UFOs before. Sometimes people have only seen one, and a lot of people have never seen one. But I'm curious as to why some people that say they have seen one, some of those people have seen many. And one thing that I wonder about is that if there were actually other intelligent life in the universe, which I happen to absolutely believe, I think that it would be, as Jodie Foster in Contact says, an awful waste of space if it was just us, that they wouldn't necessarily appear in the same way all the same times as we would expect them to. Because if other beings have a technology greater than ours, it might not show up the same way that we would expect it to using the laws and rules that we have here on this planet with concern to our science and technology and gravity and the speeds that we can build things to achieve, etc. So one of the things that I thought about is that what if there are many what we call UFOs around us all the time, or, you know, not necessarily an anomaly. And part of the reason we only see them some of the time is because they're not always vibrating at a rate that we are able to see with our physical eyes. I talked about this a little bit on the episode with guides and spirits and ghosts and, you know, spirit guides and things like that, kind of how the whole idea behind, well, maybe some people see ghosts or angels, etc., because they are vibrating at a certain frequency that being is vibrating at that exact moment in time. For example, we're all physical, we're all solid, so we're vibrating at a certain frequency. Well, if an angel is a being that vibrates on a higher frequency that we can't see with our eyes, then it doesn't mean that it's not there. It just means that we can't physically see that because it's not vibrating at a rate that we see within the visible spectrum of light. So I'm kind of thinking about UFOs the same way. So, you know, if they have technology that is obviously greater than ours, if they've come from somewhere else outside this solar system, maybe they are often working at higher vibrations than we are used to seeing, and therefore we don't see them as often. I mean, that obviously opens up a lot of questions, you know, like how long has this been happening? Do authorities know about this and acknowledge that that is a thing? Or is everybody who claims to have seen a UFO at some point crazy? I don't know. I mean, I myself do believe in UFOs. I have seen, I've had a few experiences that I will share later as part of our story time in this episode. But I'm open to all kinds of considerations. What makes me wonder is, for me, so many people around the world, around the planet, have seen unidentified flying objects or had experiences with UFOs, seen something, heard something, felt something. There's even people who say that they've been abducted by UFOs or aliens, right? And so for so many people to say similar things all around the world, I don't tend to believe that that's a bunch of people who are crazy. But that's, you know, that's the way I think about things. One of the theories that I've heard that I think is really interesting and I'm going to share with you is comes from an author and famous hypnotist, Dolores Cannon. I don't know that I've mentioned Dolores on this podcast yet, but if you're somebody who listens to this podcast often, you might really enjoy reading some of Dolores Cannon's books. I believe she wrote at least 10, maybe more. And what she did is later in her life, she became really interested in the question of what is actually going on when people say that they've been abducted by aliens. This question really interested her. Okay. So she became a hypnotist. Maybe she was a hypnotist first. She actually came up with her own way of hypnotizing folks that is known as QHHT, the quantum healing hypnosis technique. She would find people who had claimed that they had been abducted by aliens, and she would put them under hypnosis, obviously with their permission, because they wanted to find out what happened as well or remember more of that situation. So she interviewed, she recorded all of these sessions, and she interviewed many, many people all around the world, not from the same place at all. She would travel to different countries. People would travel to her. And something really interesting came out of the grand majority of her interviews with people who said that they had been abducted by aliens. What would happen is that they would be put under, so they would be in a hypnotic state, and she would, using questions, lead them back to that day or that night or wherever they feel the incident occurred. Because many people were coming and, you know, remember one thing, and then there's a period of time after that point that they don't remember. And then they might even, when they start remembering again, they might have even ended up in a different location than where they remember being. But there's a whole period of time that is missing. So for a lot of these people, they wanted to figure out what actually happened during that time. So what happened, what ended up being a really interesting thing that Dolores Cannon discovered is that many of these people would, you know, she would ask them and she'd lead them back into where they were. Okay, what time of day was it? Okay. And everyone, you know, not everyone really had the exact same way that they went into this. Some people saw a light and then they don't remember anything anymore, et cetera. Everyone's different. But when they started going past what they had previously remembered, when they start entering that period of time that in their waking mind has been erased, so many of them said the exact same thing. And that was that they felt a sense of overwhelming joy, overwhelming bliss and familiarity. And they actually felt an incredible sense of being home or of being surrounded by their true family, by people or beings that they had missed but didn't even remember that they missed being in this body and on this planet at this time. So there's people who explain, you know, waking up on a ship, so on a UFO, but, you know, a lot of folks remember that in their human minds as being surrounded, being tested and having experiments done on them. But in this hypnotic state, what people were reflecting was that, in fact, this was their people. This was their true people, where they had actually come from, where they felt that they were actually from. So from different star systems, different planets. And in this memory, in this under this hypnotic state, they remembered that they were actually being tended to. They were being checked up on. Their physical body was being tested to make sure that it was handling living on Earth okay, and that these beings had far greater technology of healing and fixing things in the human body than we do here on Earth, so that they were actually just making sure that everything was working well for this person, this being, while having a lifetime on Earth. And that many of them, actually, many of the people that have had experiences like this felt this sense of, oh, you know, like I missed you so much, and this familiarity and this actually not necessarily wanting to go back down to the Earth plane and continue their earthly lives. So I think that is fascinating. And what's interesting is that all of Dolores Cannon's books, at least the ones that I have read, are basically word for word transcribed from the recordings that she used in her sessions. So here's many people from all over the planet, all over the country, who are giving similar accounts of what happened to them while they were hypnotized, similar accounts of what they, their human brains, remembered and understood to be an alien abduction. Yet while they're under hypnosis, they are describing to Dolores how wonderful it was to actually be with their people or be with their communities again. I find that fascinating. I went ahead and read 4 or 5 of Dolores Cannon's books. If you're interested in hearing and reading more about what I'm describing right now, check out the Convoluted Universe series by Dolores Cannon. It's a 5-book series. And like I said, almost all of it is transcribed word for word. She will add in her comments sometimes, but most of this series is transcribed word for word from her recorded hypnosis sessions. So I think that's a really interesting take. And why not? You know, I think that there's a lot of different things going on or that could be going on with these situations. And wow, I mean, so many people from around the world saying similar things in similar situations. That's really interesting. Let's move into some stories now. The first story I want to share with you is an account from a few different counselors at a camp that I volunteer for about something that they all saw or felt or experienced at the same time while at this summer camp a few summers ago. And I was able to record this. This recording also shows up in a previous episode from this podcast about summer camp. The clip is specifically three staff members who I interviewed. But just to give some context for the story, it started with me being a lifeguard for a group of cabins that wanted to lay on the dock and watch the stars one night. So I was lifeguarding them and not looking up at the sky. And most of them were laying on the dock and looking up in the sky. And it just so happened that we were actually just talking about UFOs. And all of a sudden, the three girls nearest to me all go, as though they had just seen something. And I wasn't looking in the direction that they were looking. They were kind of looking into the sky out across the lake. And I was like, what? What did you see? And all three of them were kind of in a state of shock and kind of breathing quickly and a little bit scared about what they had just seen. But they had clearly all seen the same thing because they all made the same sound at the same time. And they had seen something that was kind of dark, almond-shaped, black. It was night out, and so it was darker than the surrounding area, and it was very dark out. And they had all seen it move the same way. And I know this because the next day, independent of each other, I asked them to draw what they had seen without looking at each other's drawings, and they all gave me papers that looked exactly the same. So that was really interesting. And it turns out that a few other counselors, a few other staff members had an experience that they couldn't really explain at the exact same time at different parts of the lake. So this camp is circled around a lake. So here, let's listen to a clip of what I recorded from the staff members about their experience.
So I was watching some campers while the camp counselor was on break. And I had just finished reading them a story, and it was lights out. So this had to be, I read until 11:08, a little past lights out. So probably between 11:08 and like 11:20-ish, it was really quiet, and I was just up, really like the only one I thought was awake. And I was facing the cabin. We're really close to the waterfront. We're like the closest cabin to the waterfront. And I heard this like whoosh behind me, and I felt like this, not quite a breeze, but like this energy, like as if something was moving past. And I kind of tried to turn my head, and I didn't see anything, but I remember thinking it felt really different, and then I didn't know how to explain it. So that was basically what happened, but it was definitely like, felt like something was moving up above and behind me. And that's what happened.
Excellent. Thank you for your experience. Oops, I think you were in that vicinity as well. Did you experience anything? And if so, what was that?
Yeah, I was in the same place and I was laying down. And I never fall asleep really fast. And I, for some reason, I felt like I was falling asleep. And then I almost thought it was like the wind or if it... I got really cold all of a sudden, and as soon as it passed, I like jolted up like out of my sleep, and I just couldn't tell like what it was or what happened, and like my heart was racing. I like felt my heart going really fast, and I couldn't open my eyes, and then as soon as it passed, I was awake and like nothing had happened.
Mm. Yeah. Actually, Victory, how did you feel when that happened? Like, were you scared? Was your heart racing like, oops, at all? Or how did that feel?
It felt like, you know, it was odd because it felt like this energy force had moved past. And I don't know if I was per se scared, but I was definitely a little perplexed and felt like, I'm not sure what that was, but it felt like something. That was basically it. It just, I wasn't able to name it. And the rest of the camp was totally asleep. So it just felt like this energy force up and above. And it was like the oddest thing because I was like, what could that be? I didn't know.
Thank you. And Outlander, you were up at that time in a slightly different area of camp. What was your experience?
Yeah, I was a little further around the lake. And I was laying out on the dock of my cabin. I was out there from like 10:45 to 11:15-ish, and I saw something shoot across the sky. I don't know what it was, but it had this tail that lingered in the sky for several seconds, and it was just this very bright bluish tint tail. Yeah, that I've never seen before.
And you said that Cedar was with you too, right?
Yeah, Cedar was laying out there with me, and she saw it also.
Okay, cool. Wow. So the interesting thing about this is that it wasn't just one person seeing one thing at a time. In each of these instances, it was like you and Cedar saw this thing at around this time. You and Oop saw this thing at around this time. And then the three campers saw the same thing at the same time. So
from
different points of the lake. Very interesting. Very cool. Thank you all for sharing your experiences. So that was a really interesting experience to have that many people experience an unusual situation all at the exact same time of night, both adults and children. So that was really neat. Now we're going to hear from a gentleman named Jim, who lives in Costa Rica and is an acquaintance of mine and is known to have had many experiences seeing UFOs. So here is part of his experience. So, Jim, when was the first time that you saw any kind of phenomena in the sky?
The first time I saw some phenomena, probably about 30 years ago, when I just saw things, you know, zipping past in the sky at night and not doing the normal speed of an airplane or anything like that. It sort of made me aware that there was things going on. And then,
where was that?
Well, in Vancouver, where I was originally from, I was a commercial fisherman, and so saw a lot of different phenomena in the skies at night when I'm traveling. But mostly, when I got to Nanaimo on Vancouver Island, which is in British Columbia, I had built a house up on a cliff with a large view of the Georgia Strait, but also the back of me was all woods all the way basically to the West Coast and then the Pacific Ocean. So I had a hot tub there where I used to see all kinds of phenomena going by that was just definitely not planes. I mean, they were, you know, just white lights, no sounds, with no blinking lights, no red and green. But the one time that really convinced me was this was in 1996 in June, early June. I was out watching for UFOs and I had a very bright spotlight, not a spot so much as a diving light that was very precise. And overhead out of the forest, about 2,000 feet up, I saw this oblong object appear, and it appeared to me, because, you know, being a fisherman, I could gauge distances, appeared to be about 400 feet long with, you know, pure white light and no sound. And I started blinking my light at it, and it, after about a minute, it started turning skyward, and after about a minute disappeared into a pinprick. So and I was with my brother-in-law, and he saw the same thing. And then about 15 minutes later, we saw on a diagonal of that, about twice as high, moving what I would estimate at about 1,500 miles an hour, this same object with obviously a jet right on its tail following it. So then we're talking some more. And then after about 15 minutes, all of a sudden, we were totally illuminated, like with a 30-foot round spotlight that lasted only about a second, but enough for us to look at each other in the eyes and go, what's going on? And then I just happened to look off to the west and saw this object leaving the atmosphere with a sort of a blue-green hue on its hull, and it was gone. And there was no sounds at the whole time that I heard, which made me a believer. And since been down here in Costa Rica, I've seen several different sightings of objects moving through the sky that other people had seen. And so I'm a believer.
Yeah.
Question, when you saw the one with the jet following it, do you think the jet also was a UFO, or was that something that looked familiar to you?
No, this is like 35 miles from Whidbey Air Force Base in Washington State. And definitely it was a jet, probably the Air Force jet following it.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. That's amazing. Have you seen as many phenomenon here in Costa Rica?
No, not near as many. Well, no, not at all. In fact, it occurred to me because we were so close to the Whidbey in Washington State that's where, you know, there seemed to be a lot of the phenomena that I saw. So I've seen a few occasions down here, but nothing spectacular that I can recall.
Mm-hmm. What about that? What was that lake one here?
In front of where I live, which is in Lago Cote, is we have a famous picture of a UFO coming out of the lake that, judging on the, from what I understood, it was the American-Canadian U.S. or Costa Rican government doing a mapping expedition at 10,000 feet, and they saw this little blip on their camera that they didn't notice until later, and then blew it up, and then there's that famous picture of the UFO coming out of Lago Cote, which was, this occurred in 1971 in September the 4th, I believe, and the object was 682 feet wide, according to their figures.
Wow. Yeah. Have you heard of other people talk about Lake Cote and seen things around Lake Cote?
Well, not really that I've talked to anybody. I mean, I've seen various people around that are firm believers, and I don't think there's anything more coming out of Cote, but because I'm a fisherman on that lake for the last 25 years, so I haven't seen anything since. So, or I didn't even see that one, although I have that large photo in my living room.
Yeah. I just met somebody in Arenal last week who, when we got talking about UFOs and aliens and stuff like that. And he's Tico. He's from here, grew up, I think, near San Jose. And he and two of his friends, when he was a kid, like 9, 10 and like 12 or something, saw a UFO coming out of a lake at that time. And nobody believed them. Their parents didn't believe them at all. Wow. And he knows that he saw it.
Out of Lago Cote?
No, not Lago Cote. I'm not sure which one it was.
Okay. Well, I've seen some strange phenomena around here, but not near as much as what I was up in British Columbia.
Great. Jim, thank you so much for sharing your stories.
Yeah, no problem.
Appreciate it.
Okay.
So that was Jim's experience, which is really interesting too. It shows that there are several different ways of experiencing, seeing UFOs. And I'm really grateful to have his perspective on things as well. Now, I just wanted to share my own experience with UFOs. And I have kind of two experiences to share. So the first one happened when I was about 17 or 18 years old. I was a senior in high school. And I was at a friend's house. There were probably five or six of us hanging out on my friend's trampoline. And a few people were sitting up and playing guitar and singing. And me and another friend were lying down on the trampoline and looking up and just stargazing. And I remember looking at a star system that it looked like three stars that were in a triangle shape, an equilateral triangle shape. I didn't really think anything about it. I just continued watching the stars. And then all of a sudden, that shape, the three stars, shifted. They turned 180 degrees. They rotated to the right as though they were all connected. And they just kind of flew away. And when it moved, I could see that it was a lot closer than I thought it was. It was very close, but the way that the lights on it looked like it was, to me, it looked like they were stars. And it flew away silently, completely silently. It didn't make a sound. And I looked at my friend. We looked at each other and we both went, "Did you see that?" And so me and my friend saw this, and I actually made an attempt to locate that friend on Facebook. We haven't probably spoken since we graduated high school, and I could not find her. But Annika, if you are listening, I am curious if you remember the same thing that I remember. So that was my first experience with a UFO that I remember. And the second one was not of seeing it, but of hearing something that I think had to be a UFO. There was no other thought for it. It was at this summer camp from our first story that I shared, same summer camp. And I've also shared that experience in my previous episode, but since this is the official episode about aliens and UFOs, I will share it again here. Essentially, I was in my tent at night around 10:30-ish. I can't remember the time. We'll just say that I was falling asleep. And I had my headphones in, and I sometimes listen to things to help me get to sleep. So I was at that moment of drifting off when you pretty much aren't going to get up for anything, right? Like, even if you have to like go to the bathroom, you're kind of like, I'm just going to fall asleep. So that's how close to sleep I was. And all of a sudden, very, very loudly, I hear this sound that kind of sounded like vroom, vroom, vroom. That's the best I can do. I don't really know how to make sounds like that, but that's kind of what it sounded like to me. And it was loud. It was loud enough that in my almost asleep state with my headphones on, I could hear it, and I sat straight up in my tent because I did not know what that was. Now, this is a camp that I've spent several years at. And you know, when you spend time at a place long enough, you know all of the sounds. You know what a plane sounds going over the lake. You know what even a helicopter would sound like. You know what a car going around the road sounds like. There's only so many sounds that you can hear when you're in the middle of the woods at this camp, right? This was nothing like I'd ever heard in my entire life. It was so unique and weird that I almost jumped out of my tent to see if I could see what was making the noise. And it didn't sound like it was right over me or anything. It sounded like it was coming from a direction in front of me. And then right when I was about to get out of my tent, it stopped, just completely stopped. And I sat there for a minute and I was like, okay, there's nothing I can do about this. And then I laid back down and I went to sleep. And the next morning, I completely forgot about it. I really did. It was, you know, I didn't even think about it. And then one of my friends later in the day, another staff member, ran up to me sometime after breakfast and said, "Oh, Rama, Rama, I have to tell you something." And that's my camp name. He said, "I had this experience last night." And he went on to describe pretty much the exact same thing that I had experienced. The noise, except that for him, he said it sounded like it was right above his cabin, which from where I was in camp and where I heard it was the correct direction that I heard it in. And he even said that another camper woke up in the cabin and said, "Am I dreaming?" And he answered the camper and said, "No, I hear it too." And they just listened to it, and then it went away, and then they went back to sleep, same as I did. So I don't know what that was, but that certainly wasn't anything. I don't think it was anything terrestrial. I don't think it was anything from this planet. And those are my stories that I wanted to share today, my stories and others' stories. I hope this has been food for thought for you. I really enjoy talking about this topic. I enjoy hearing people's experiences. I have heard many different stories on this topic from many different people, some solicited and some unsolicited. And I just like to hear about them and open to anybody's experience. So If those of you listening have had experiences with UFOs and aliens and would like to share, I would love to hear about them. You can email us at info@letsgetmeta.com. Love to hear your stories. And if you do email, please say whether or not it's okay if we share your story on air, because I think that would be really interesting. So feel free to write in info@letsgetmeta.com. Thank you for joining us. We're going to leave it there today. And be sure to check out patreon.com/letsgetmeta for some awesome bonus content for this episode and every episode we have. Thank you so much for joining, and we'll see you next time.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. Let's Get Metaphysical is entirely listener supported. If you like what we're doing, please consider becoming a patron of the podcast at patreon.com/letsgetmeta. Our intention is to raise the vibration of the planet by sharing, validating, and normalizing spiritual and metaphysical experiences. If you haven't pledged yet, we'd really appreciate your support. It helps keep this show going. Let's Get Metaphysical is a production of the Hana Healing Arts Network. The show's host is Renata Maniacci. The music for this podcast was composed by Rob Trefort of GoldenTurtleSound.org. Thank you for listening. Stay meta.
Physical.